Glory to God. Well, we've been talking about being built together and things. We're going to take a break today. This morning, I just felt specifically to go in another direction, and so we're going to go there. Amen. Why don't you turn over to Psalm 107? How many of you believe we ought to be led by Him? Amen. Led by the Spirit of God. We want what He wants. Amen. We're not trying to build a sermon series or anything like that. We come together to hear from Him, not from a man. From the Spirit of the living God, and we'll always get what we need at the right time. Amen. I believe there are answers here and encouragement here this morning. Psalm 107:17. Everybody there? It says, "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted." Skip to 19. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." We're going to read that again. Notice verse 17. "Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted." Verse 19, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word, and He healed them and delivered them from their destructions." Notice that. People, the Bible calls fools throughout the Word. It refers to people that don't believe God as fools, that reject God. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God." Well, look what it says, though. "Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, were afflicted." In other words, they made their own bed and now it's time to lie in it. They messed up. And they are in bad circumstances. But notice verse 19, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He saved them out of their distresses." Notice verse 20, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." So it's saying this about somebody who is godless and just not doing what they ought to do, yet God still delivered them. How great is the mercy of God? How great is the mercy of God? And let me ask you this question. You're a child of Almighty God, blood bought, sanctified, set apart. Have you ever heard the thoughts that you're not going to come out and you're not going to make it through? Well, how much more if you're His child, He's your Father, if He'll deliver people that just completely reject Him and spit in His face, and they call out to Him, and He delivers them, how much more His own kin? Amen? Amen. When you hear anything, now get this, when you hear anything that is doubt, defeat, or discouragement, it is Satan, always. Yeah. Always. If you hear anything that is doubt, defeat, discouragement, it is Satan all the time. Always. That means if you hear a thought that is telling you, you're not coming through, you're not going to make it, it's too late for you, that means it's from Satan. And if it's from Satan, he's a liar. But he will tell you this. What you'll hear, if you ever hear anything that says, you're in a corner, you're in a dead end, you messed up, too bad, you've made your own bed, you have no choice but to deal with the consequences, it's too late, that is the devil. Did you hear me? I know that sounds simplistic, but we need to get this straight. Because he's very subtle, and what he'll tell you, you'll have a discouraging thought, and what it'll sound like is that's just common sense. That's normal. Anybody can see this is what's going to happen. That's not God. If it is discouraging you, if you think of something with your children and your shoulders slump and you're just thinking, I messed up here. And you very well maybe messed up. Has anybody ever messed up as a parent? Besides me. Yes. It may be about your job. Well, you blew it here. That very well may be true. But the implication will be, and there's no hope. You did this, so this is going to happen, and there's nothing you can do about it. And result of it is that you feel discouraged and like, yeah, I know. And it'll come again, or something subtle. Yeah, I know. I messed up. That's the enemy. Yes. Anything that comes that's trying to discourage you or bring doubt or talk about how you're going down, that is Satan, period. And if we'll learn to recognize that, we'll stop it and say, that's not God. Because God never loses. Did you hear me? Yeah. There is no circumstance where he says, too late in the game, nothing I can do. Never. Never. If we'll turn to him, there is always hope. Did you notice Lazarus was dead when Jesus got to him? Most people would say, that's too late. Not just he died 5 minutes ago. He's wrapped up. He's packaged away. He's been in there for a few days and he stinks. Most people would say, it's over. There's nothing you can do. But it wasn't over. It's never over for God. Never. He's the creator. He never goes, uh-oh. He's never sitting on his throne going, oh man, did you see this mess they just made? There is nothing. Just pretend you didn't see that and walk away. Because we can't fix that. That's not, God is victorious. I'm telling you, he is the original can-do attitude person. He is the original winner. Positive thinker, all these things that people try to pattern. Now, that's not bad because that's the way God is. It's just that you have to have it centered on God. You positive think all you want, but if you don't have God undergirding it, you positive think right into the grave. Because you and yourself can't change most things. You're no match for certain diseases and whatever, but he is. He is. He always, he's never like, well, we've lost hope. No, he is always positive. So when you hear those thoughts that start telling you there's no hope for you, your future is messed up because you did this and that, that's the devil, period. Just get that. If you take one thing out of here today is that no matter what happened in the past, no matter how bad you messed it up, there is hope and God will deliver you if you turn toward him. Period. 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 The devil wants to tell you you're different. You're the exception. Yeah, I know, preacher. I know what he said, but here it is. And that's exactly what he'll tell you when you get home or later this week. I know what he was saying or what the word was saying, but here's this. And you know how bad you messed up. We know how bad you messed up. He'll get in there and talk with you like it's we. We know how bad you missed it. Has anybody ever heard this besides me? He will hound you. He is vicious. And if you entertain him, you will spiral down. You don't want to entertain the devil. He's not somebody you want in your foyer or in your living room sitting on the couch. You don't want him in your house. You don't want him to stay. So don't listen to the stuff he says. Don't go, yeah, you're right. Let me hear a little bit more of that. Come in and take a seat and let's talk a while. How do we recognize him? When something's knocking on the door of your mind and it sounds depressing, it sounds like you're going down, it sounds like I don't know if God's going to come through, you can mark it right away. That's the devil. Go away. I don't need any. Don't want any. Not opening the door. And walk away. Period. And what do you replace it with? No, God is my source. God is my healer. God has seen ahead and made provision. He is taking care of my children. And we will win regardless. I see what happened in the first inning, but the game's not over yet. We're going to go into extra innings until we come out victorious. I don't care what happened. I don't care what happened here. God will come through. Jesus is always on top. Look on your scripture sheet. Skip down a little bit to John 10:10. John 10:10. The thief does not come. Now, some of these are familiar to some people in here. Don't let it be too simple for you. Don't check out. There's something here that somebody needs to get. Don't check out. Oh, keep your heart open. Keep expecting and get what's here. Because we can, do you think we can get more out of these verses? Yes we can. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So if you see anything or any thought that has the connotation of stealing, killing, destroying, defeat, it is the devil. That's the thief. You can recognize it. And this, we have to be simplistic in some things. We've become too broad-minded in some things. The world today wants to entertain everything. And if you don't, you're open-minded. Or you're closed-minded. Well, I'd rather be closed-minded and healed. Closed-minded and my relationships are well. Closed-minded and saved. Yes, Jesus is the only way. Well, we got to entertain everything. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's politically correct, but it's not going to get you saved. The Bible says there is one way to the Father, and that's Jesus. One. We need to be closed-minded on some things and just shut our mind down if we recognize anything that is contrary. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. It's this easy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it more abundantly. So what is God? What is Jesus? He's coming and saying, I'm life. I'm life and more abundant life. That means it just gets better and better and better. I'm here to have life. That you may have life. And so if there's anything contrary to that, no, I'm not going to look that way. I'm going to look to God who said that I'm going to have life. I'm going to have it more abundantly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Psalm 91 on your sheet there. 91:14 says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Amen. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. He said, I will. I will deliver him. Period. Did he say, unless your circumstances are these? No, he said, I'll deliver them. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He said he will deliver us. He will deliver us. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me. See, there it is again. Like we read in Psalm 117, they called upon him. Verse 15 here says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. So when you hear, I don't know where God is. I mean, I prayed. What's going on? That's defeat. That's doubt. That's the enemy trying to undermine your faith and trying to sell you something that's a lie. He's trying to say, you're not going to make it. You're not going to get through. And he's trying to get you to buy that. But if we'll counter him with the word and say, no, no, no. No. He said right here that if I call upon him, he's answering me. He said he'd be with me in trouble. So he's right here. He's right here. He's right here right now. Somebody needs to know that he is right here right now with you, walking with you through whatever you're going through. Right now. Right now. Right now. You have the King of the universe with you. This is not some religious idea we're talking about. You have the Creator with you, in you, walking with you. Hallelujah. He's here. He's here. And he has the answer. He's not fazed at all. Let's turn over to John 14. John 14, verse 6. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we exalt you today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to you, Lord. John 14, 6. It says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. He's the truth and the life. Now, when the enemy comes and tells you, you're at a dead end, there's no way out of this, you're going down. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way out. And he knows exactly how to get you to the next point where you need to be. He knows how to undo the things that you've messed up on and got yourself what looks like a corner. What looks like there is no way out. He is the way. He has an answer. He has a specific plan of attack for you to victory. Today. Now. This is not theoretical. This is not, well, that sounds great. But I'm talking about the thing you're facing right now that you don't know exactly what you're going to do. He's the way. He has the answer. He knows exactly what you need right now. And if we'll look to him, he'll show us the way out every time. He is not dismayed. He's not discouraged. He's not down. He is the way. Hallelujah. Let's turn over to 1 John 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First John 2, verse 20. First John 2, verse 20. It says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Skip down to verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. Verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Now notice in verse 27, as a side note, it says, you do not need that anyone teach you. Don't pull that verse out of context. Some people do. Well, see, we don't need anybody to teach us. No, that would contradict other scripture. That would contradict that he gave gifts for our equipment. People, so well, see, I don't need anybody to teach me. No, that's off. That contradicts other scripture. We have to rightly divide the word. Don't lift it out of its setting. What is he saying? He said, these things in verse 26, I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. He said, but the anointing that you have received, it's going to teach you what to do and how to discern those people that are trying to deceive you. That's what it's referring to. We can't lift verses out of context and make them say something they don't say. If we'll just harmonize it with all the word. Somebody said it this way. Actually, Reverend McCallum said it when he was here last fall. He said, good teaching is that which doesn't contradict anything else in the Bible. If it'll harmonize and you can't find anything that will contradict it, it's good teaching. But if you can find something that's like, wait a minute, if it makes you think, what about this verse? Well, either you have limited understanding on that verse, or it's wrong. It could be either. So when you don't understand something, like one man said, shelve it. If you don't quite wrap your mind around it, but it's somebody that you respect saying it, and that has generally preached the word, if you don't understand exactly what they're saying, shelve it. He said, put it on a shelf. There may come a time when you walk by that shelf and you're tall enough where you can understand it. Now, God has added some things to you and you walk by and say, oh, now I get that. I just didn't understand, you know, X and Y, but now I can understand Z because now I understand these other two. So don't throw it out and don't get in a huff, because that's a tactic of the devil. He'll say, what's, you know, he'll try to get you all fired. What's he saying? I don't understand. I don't see that. Well, you may be wrong. You may be, we all are growing in understanding. So if it's something coming from a generally reliable source, just shelve it. Just shelve it. Ask God about it. Amen? Yeah. Do you know a three-year-old could ask you questions that you know the answer to, but you could not explain to them? They could ask you a valid question and you know exactly what the answer is, but if you tried to explain it to them, they don't know so many things in between that you'd have to explain it in other terms, and they don't know that, so you can't answer them. But when they come back and they know some stuff, now they could ask you that same questions, you can tell them and they'll understand. We're all like that. Did you hear me? We're all growing. When God refers to us as his little children, that's not a figure of speech. We are his little children. Relative to him, the Almighty, he's been around for all time, and we've been around for what? A century tops? Compared to how long he's been around? We don't know a whole lot. A whole lot. So it should come as no surprise when we don't know certain things, and we may have to fill in some blanks. Anyhow, stay on God's side all the time. Verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. See, notice, it teaches you concerning all things. Concerning all things. Well, that would include what you're going through right now. Or at any time in life, he knows the way out. Do you hear me? He is the way, and that anointing in you will show you the way out. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what needs to happen now. Now, it's not insurmountable for him. He knows exactly what needs to happen. He know in every situation, if you'll tell yourself, first of all, you shun any doubt and discouragement. You say, no, God has a way. Now, Lord, show me the way. You can't lose. You can't lose. Because you have the greater one inside you. He'll show you what to do naturally. He'll show you what to do with your body. You know, it's not always super spiritual. There was a man, I shared this, I believe, on Wednesday nights, if I said it on Sunday, it bears repeating. There was a man that was in a missions trip, and he was in Africa or somewhere, and he was there for some time, and he was doing a lot of work, and he was getting weak, and just to where he didn't have any strength. And he was like, and he had prayed for healing, and he had believed, had endeavored to believe God, but he wasn't getting any better. And he was like, God, what's going on? And he just spent some time with God. It just brought it before the Lord. And the Lord said, add a little bit of salt, extra salt to your food. Add a little bit of extra salt to your food. And he said, okay, that doesn't sound real spiritual or anything. That's not what he was expecting. But he started doing it. And the first day he did it, and he started feeling better. And the second day he started feeling stronger. And then in a few days he was all back to normal. You realize we're just one big chemical reaction. As humans. That's all we are. God, do you think God knows exactly what you're deficient of? Let me tell you something. Don't get over spiritual with everything. God knows exactly what you need in your body to correct it. Yes, there's the power of God, but sometimes we're just a little bit out of balance in something, and He knows. And we all have different systems. Did you hear me? Yeah. What might hurt somebody doesn't hurt you. That's why you can't go around preaching certain diets and whatever. I'm not saying there's anything against diets, but one diet that helps somebody could not help another person. Our faith has got to be in Him. And He will show us specifically for you what you need to do. You know, all bodies are different as far as weight is concerned. You know, way back when I was just out of college and joined a gym and all this stuff, I went through this class, and it was about how your body processes different foods. And some bodies that process, you know, fats and something different than other bodies, and one person could just eat steak and it's no big deal. But they eat certain carbs and whatever, it just goes right to their gut. On the other hand, the other person can eat all the carbs they want, and they eat steak, and boy, that's it. And it doesn't agree with them. We're different. There is not any one-size-fits-all, and we have the Holy Spirit of God in us to help us with this type of stuff too. He knows exactly what you need to tweak to get something adjusted, and boom, problem gone. And sometimes we want it super spiritual and spectacular that we miss the supernatural. We want to see something, boom, I want to see something change just immediately, and then I'll know God heard me. But add a little bit more salt to my food? Is that just me? Well, it worked. No more problem. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go around in circles for 10 years when something I could change real easy. It solves a problem. I don't have to deal with it anymore. That's what you're after, right? Sometimes we get in a corner and we're looking for God to solve it in a specific way, and we'll be closed to other ways. Pastor Hagin talked about this there's this particular student, you know, going to Rhema, and they're believing God to help them with their tuition. And, you know, they didn't have the money they need, and they're believing God that they're going to help him. And a relative ended up coming in and paying their tuition. And, you know, didn't tell them, pay their tuition. And this kid found out his tuition was paid off, and he came in, and he goes, well, how did it happen? And they said, well, it was so-and-so. He goes, I don't want that. I don't want it to. I didn't want it to happen that way. And Pastor, this was when Raymond was real young, and Pastor was actually dealing with him. And he said, well, did you tell them that you needed the money? No. And they specifically had it on their heart to come and help you pay the tuition. Yeah? What's your problem? It sounds like God, you didn't go and ask them. It sounds like God moved on them to help. Why is that a problem? Well, it's not the way I thought it would happen. So what? Your tuition's paid. Right? Is that not the end game or not? And we do this, don't we? I want it done this way, and that means that God's really moving. Really? Well, I think God should be able to move any way he sees fit to move, and I think he knows better than me. Right? So if he can see the answer to my problem, and he knows that something small will fix it, why do I want to go round in circles for a year looking for this or believing God that he's just going to do this supernatural thing when he is already telling me the answer inside if I'll just listen? Because that's what I want, is to be healed or to be delivered or to have my tuition paid. I want to walk with God. I don't want to get sidetracked in these things where I think it ought to be this way. I believe God ought to move this way because then it means, you know, whatever. My faith's really working or whatever. We can get sidetracked on all kinds of things. We need to know that God has our best interest in mind, and if we'll just look to him. Just look to him, he's got the answer. Always. Always. He has it. Thank you, Lord. We don't want to negate something that is... seems too natural. But just look to him. He has the way out. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's look on your sheet there. Glory to God. God is so merciful and good and gracious. He is a good God. He is a good God. Thank you, Lord. Look at Psalm 145 there. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, the slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. That's who he is. He is merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Regardless if we've blown it, regardless if we've done the wrong thing, he's a good and merciful God. And don't ever buy the lie that you've gone too far and you've messed up too much for him to help you. There is always a solvable, he always has the solution. Look at Jonah. Jonah 1, let's look on your sheet. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, and saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now notice who he's talking about. Nineveh. Why is Jonah supposed to go to Nineveh? For their wickedness has come up before me. They're not good people. They're messing up big time. But in all this, I want you to notice God's heart. Yeah. Look at verse 8. So anyway, you know, fill in the blanks here, you know the story of Jonah. He doesn't do what it says in verse 2 there. Arise and go to Nineveh. No, he decides he wants to go to Tarshish. He's going to go the opposite way. We talked a little bit about this on youth on Friday. But he decides he's not going to Nineveh. He's going to get on a boat and run away from God. How many of you think that was a wise plan? He's going to run away from the Almighty on the ocean. I don't know if I was going to run away. I don't know if I would go to the ocean. Something about those miles of water underneath you. But that's where I'm going to go to run away from God. Don't laugh too hard. So anyway, he gets swallowed by a fish, a whale, something. And let me just say, this did happen. This is the word of God, and Jesus referred to it. He said, just like Jonah was in the belly of a fish or a whale, whatever it says there in the New Testament, and he said, so must the Son of Man is going to be in the belly of the earth. Jesus referred to it and said that it happened. Because people say this is just a story. No, it's not just a story. It happened. And whether we understand exactly, because people say, well, no, it couldn't have been a whale. The throat's too small. You know what? We don't know exactly what that was, but the Bible says there was a fish of some sort that swallowed Jonah, and Jesus verified it. Yeah. So it's the truth. Yeah. stay on God's side, because we don't know everything exactly that happened, but it is just like the Bible said it is. It happened just like the Bible said it happened. Stay on God's side. So anyway, Jonah gets swallowed, and then finally he comes back and says, "All right, God, I messed up." And he starts praising God and thanking God. We pick that up in verse 8 here. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "Those who regard," this is Jonah speaking, "those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." So he's got none. He's just speaking, just basically saying, "God, I messed up. I blew it." And so in verse 10, "So the Lord spoke to the fish." Can God speak to fish? I guess so. You know, like that Jesus, when they pulled up that fish out of the lake and it had the money for the tax? How did that get there? I guess God knows how to get the fish on the hook. So God knows how to do things that we don't know how to do. He's the Lord. He said, "So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." That's a nice picture, isn't it? Can you imagine that? Jonah, flying through the air that's just not even nice. But he ended up on dry land. Verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I will tell you.' So Jonah arose this time, and he went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. Then word came to the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who can tell if God will turn and relent and turn away from his fierce anger so that we may perish?'" Now, this is this man's understanding. He's saying, we're going to turn. Verse 10, "Then God saw their works." They changed. They repented. They said, "We're wrong." They heard the word and they just said, "Lord, we messed up. God, we messed up." It says, "God saw their works, that they turned away from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Now, verse 1 of chapter 4, the next verse says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live.'" Now that's another subject. Jonah is mad. That's a whole other thing. Why is he so mad? He knew that God would, these godless people, he knew if he went and told them the truth, he did not want to see them saved. And that's not the point. I don't want to get off on that too much. But notice that these people were wicked, godless individuals, and yet God sent somebody to preach to them and to save them. And they had, if anybody had room to expect God's judgment, it was them. But God sent somebody to them because he loved them, and this is how merciful and gracious and long-suffering he is. People that completely abhor him, he still looks at them with love, and he'll still give them a chance. Now let me ask you a question. How much more does he look at you and want good things for you? You're a blood-bought child of Almighty God. You're already in the family. But our enemy will come and tell you and tell all of us, you've messed it up too bad. God is not pleased with you, and you better just expect bad in your life now. You've gone too far. That's not the heart of God. Did you hear me? Those are lies, always. We have to be very careful about looking at other people and judging them as far as what God's going to do or not do in their life. God is far more gracious and long-suffering than we are. But we need to look at our own life and say, look, we need to reject anything that would tell us that God somehow is not able to deliver us. He is, always. And he has a way out, always. Always. He always has a way of deliverance, a way out. And if we'll just be sensitive to him and look to him, the Spirit of God will direct us and lead us to where we need to be. Always. He's a good God.